ثم رحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God is worshipped in truth other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights. And don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a straying. And every straying is in the hellfire. Continuing with our class on aqidah, the Muslim beliefs, and the aqidah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, rahimahullah, we are with his statement, وَأَنَّ مَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ اسْمَ اللَّهِ غَيْرَهُ كَانَ ضَالًا وَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ عِلْمًا كَمَا قَالَ أَنْزَلَهُ بِعِلْمِهِ وَكَمَا قَالَ وَمَا نَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى وَلَا تَضَعَ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ وَنُثْبِتُ أَنَّ لِلَّهِ قُدْرَةِ كَمَا قَالَ أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً ونثبت لله السمع والبصر ولا ننفي ذلك كما نفته المعتزلة والجهمية والخوارج ونقول إن كلام الله غير مخلوق وإنه سبحانه لم يخلق شيئا إلا وقد قال له كن فيكون كما قال إنما قولنا لشيء إذا أردناه أن نقول له كن فيكون. The Sheikh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah tells us, and whoever thinks that Allah's names are other than him, then he is astray. And Allah has knowledge just as he has said, as the translation goes, he revealed it with his knowledge. Surah An-Nisa, verse number 177. And as he said, and no female conceives or delivers except with his knowledge. Surah Al-Fatir, chapter 35, verse number 11. And we affirm that Allah has power, and he has said, as he has said, and don't see And don't they see that Allah created them and He is stronger than them in power? Surah Fussilat, verse number 15. And we affirm that Allah has hearing and seeing, and we don't deny that, like the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya and the Khawarij have denied it. And we say, indeed, the speech of Allah is not created, and He, subhanahu, never created anything except that He said to it be, and it is. And He has said, we only say to a thing that we want, and we only say to a thing that we want to be, our statement be, and it is. Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 40. Last week, we were finishing off our belief in some of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we covered His istiwa, or His rising high above His throne, and His wajj, or His face subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His yadan, or His two hands, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And His eyes, tabaraka wa ta'ala. We had covered those last week, and we had ended off with the statement, and whoever thinks that Allah's names are describing other than Him, then he is astray. This statement here, from our Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, he's making a refutation on the deviance by saying, and whoever thinks that Allah's names are describing other than Him, then he is astray. Let's take a look at one of the other statements of the ulama, and that's Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawood al-Sijistani. And Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, we know him, he is the author of Sunan Abu Dawood, and this is his son Abu Bakr. Many of the ulama, they mention this issue, as the Shaykh mentions, and whoever thinks that Allah's names are describing other than Him, or are other than Him, then he is astray. Some of the ulama, they use another type of wording, and we'll use this wording as it seems to be more clearer, from Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawood al-Sijistani, rahimahullah. He says that whoever alleges that the name is other than the person, then he has claimed that Allah is other than Allah. And he has gone astray in that point. Because indeed the name is other than the person concerning creation. As a man may be called Mahmud, which means the praiseworthy one, and he will be blameworthy from his actions and his deeds. And a person may be called Qasim, and he hasn't, and Qasim, it means the divider, and he's never divided anything up in his life. However, Allah Azza wa Jal, His names are from Him. And we don't say that His name I don't know how to translate this. We'll leave that part off then. ولا نقول اسمه هو بل نقول اسمه منه. This is this is a technicality in the Arabic language, and I don't know how I would bring that into English. At any rate, the Shaykh Hafizahullah, here we can see that the people of deviance, they try to take these beautiful names of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and His lofty characteristics to say that they are other than Allah. And the people have gone astray who said that Al-Alim is not Allah. Al-Sami' is not Allah. Al-Rahim is not Allah. Al-Rahman is not Allah. Those people who say that are the deviants. And here Abu al-Hasan Al-Ashari radiyallahu rahimahullah, he's explaining that whoever thinks that Allah's names are describing other than Him, or Allah's names are other than Allah, then he has gone astray, as Allah tells us, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, from Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 80, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, and Allah has the most beautiful names, so worship Him by these names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to worship these names, these beautiful names of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and we know that it is not permissible to worship other than Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, as worshiping other than Allah is shirk. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala would not forgive that, as he says in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah would not forgive that you ascribe partners to Him, but He forgives other than that to whoever He pleases. So it's not permissible for anyone to worship other than Allah. And when they say that these beautiful names and these lofty characteristics are other than Allah, or that they deny these beautiful names or these lofty characteristics, then they are actually committing shirk. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to worship these names, and these names are describing Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as these names are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we see the deep understanding of the ulama as they are teaching us to stay away from shirk, even in the smallest possible ways that wouldn't even come to us, as some of the ulama have deviated from the Sirat al-Mustaqim by saying that these beautiful names and these lofty characteristics are not Allah, but that Allah is Allah and these names and these characteristics are other than Allah. And if it wasn't that, as we had mentioned last week, why do the people deny that Allah had rose high above His throne, that Allah has a face, that Allah has two hands, that Allah has eyes? Why do the people deny this? Is as if they're denying Allah. If they thought they were denying Allah, they would have not denied this. And here the ulama are teaching us, rahimuhumullah ajma'in, that these characteristics of Allah are Allah, and these beautiful names of Allah are Allah. And if we don't accept all of the beautiful names and the lofty characteristics, then we would actually be denying our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Shaykh is trying to say here. And whoever thinks that Allah's names are other than Him, then he is astray, because he is believing or disbelieving in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the ulama, they have other arguments in this issue, and they use other words. But here the main point is not to deny any of the names, beautiful names of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or any of His lofty characteristics, because you're denying Allah tabarak wa ta'ala Himself. You are denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah's names are Him, as He says in the authentic, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ أَسْمَى. Indeed, Allah has 99 names. Indeed, Allah has 99 names. So here the Shaykh is just mentioning a point that many of the ulama mention, and it's a refutation on the deviants who deny some of or all of the beautiful names of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and His lofty characteristics. Then the Shaykh let me see if I made that clear. Then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he goes on to mention some of the other characteristics of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, and Allah has knowledge, just as He has said. And then he quotes from Surah An-Nisa, and I'll read the whole verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ إِلَيْكَ أَنزَلَهُ بِعِلْمِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَشْهَدُونَ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Surah An-Nisa, verse number 166, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rather Allah bears witness to what He has revealed to you, and He has revealed it to you with His knowledge, referring to the Quran, the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the angels also bear witness, and Allah is sufficient as a shaheed. And Allah is sufficient as a shaheed, or as a witness, that what He has revealed to us, He has revealed it with His knowledge. That He has revealed it with His knowledge. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book is describing Himself as having knowledge, just as He does in Surah Al-Fatir, verse number 11, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُم مِّن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وما تحمل من أنثى ولا تضع إلا بعلمه وما يعمر من معمر ولا ينقص من عمره إلا في كتاب إن ذلك على الله يسير. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us, Allah created you from dirt, then from a drop of sperm, and then He made you male and female. And no female carries or becomes pregnant or drops her load except by His knowledge. His knowledge, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And no one lives from among the people who lives a long life, nor the people who live a shorter life, except that it has already been written in a book, and indeed that is easy for Allah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that nothing is happening except by the knowledge of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself in His book as one of His characteristics being knowledge. And this is one of the beautiful characteristics of Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in Ayatul Kursi that all of us have memorized, alhamdulillah, as this part, وَلَا يُحَيْطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. And nothing encompasses His knowledge except what He pleases. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His greatest ayah in His Quran is describing Himself as having knowledge. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself in Surah Al-Taha, إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَسِعَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Allah is only the one who no God has the right to be worshipped except Him, and He encompasses everything with His knowledge. And He encompasses everything with His knowledge. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes for us the tawheed, that He is the only one that has the right to be worshipped, that He is the only one worshipped in truth, that He is the only one that has the right to be worshipped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes this tawheed for us in our lives, and we have been created for this purpose, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. And He encompasses everything with knowledge. And He encompasses everything with knowledge. And then we come to the statement of Imam Ahmed to show the importance of what the Shaykh Abul Hassan was trying to establish for us when he said that the beautiful names of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and His lofty characteristics are Allah. And that there's no separation between His beautiful names and His lofty characteristics, as they are one in the same. As Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Isra, chapter number 17, verse number 110, قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ ادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. I command you to call on Him by Allah, or to call on Him by Ar-Rahman, or it could mean, I command you to worship Allah, or to worship Ar-Rahman. Whatever name you call Him, or whatever name you worship, He has the most beautiful names. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear to us that Allah and all of His beautiful names and His lofty characteristics are one in the same, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we worship Him and we don't worship anyone other than Him. Imam Ahmed, Imam Ahlu Sunnah, and we might remember in the beginning that Abu al-Hassan al-Ash'ari, he said that his aqidah, his belief, is the belief of the Imam of Ahlu Sunnah, Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, died 241 Hijra. And we have the statement of the Imam of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Imam Ahmed, and he makes it very clear this point. As he says, إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ الْعِلْمُ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ لِأَنَّهُ يَزْعَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ عِلْمٌ حَتَّى خَلَقَهُ. And Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, as he was called or titled the Imam of Ahlu Sunnah, we see that his phrases are a lot more clearer than other people because of his knowledge. As he says, if a man says knowledge is created, then he is a kafir. If a man says knowledge is created, then he is a kafir, a disbeliever, because he has alleged that Allah did not have knowledge until he created knowledge. And here we see, if you try to separate the beautiful names of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala or Allah's lofty characteristics from Allah, you're actually denying Allah. Because if you say that the knowledge of Allah is a creation, then you're saying that Allah didn't have any knowledge until He decided to create knowledge. And here Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he's making it clear that to separate the beautiful names of Allah and His lofty characteristics from Him is to actually deny belief in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to become a disbeliever. And this is the importance of this chapter that the ulama mentioned in their books of aqidah, that the names, the beautiful names of Allah and His lofty characteristics are Him. And that whoever says that they're other than Him has gone astray. And maybe we haven't been affected by it as much, as there isn't much scholarship until now among the English-speaking Muslims, but that the Arabic-speaking Muslims have deviated in their scholarship, and the ulama of Islam have come to make the Siratul Mustaqim clear for the believers and to explain the inconsistencies and the false beliefs established by the ulama who have went astray, so that we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart and pure beliefs. Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah, explaining this principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge, and refuting the position of the people who separate Allah's knowledge from Him, we add, in order to try to correct what those people say and to humble ourselves to that which is correct, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 232, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah has knowledge and you don't know. Or, and Allah knows and you don't know. Allah knows and you don't know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us what we know, as Allah tells us, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبَصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Surah An-Nahl, verse number 78, Allah says, and Allah have brought you forth from the wombs of your mothers. You didn't know anything. You didn't have any knowledge. And then Allah created for you hearing and sight and an intellect, that perchance you may be thankful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that has all of the knowledge. And that we only have the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with. And that there's no knowledge that Allah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. As the ulama, as the malaika used to say, وَقَالُوا لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. The angels, they used to say, and we have no knowledge, talking to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we have no knowledge except the knowledge that you have taught us. Indeed, you are al-alim al-hakim. Indeed, you are the one with all knowledge, the all-wise. So this is the position of the angels, and our position should be the same, that there is no knowledge for any one of us except the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with from His book, or from the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or from the understanding and the practical application of this Quran and sunnah from the ulama of Islam. So this is the knowledge, and it's one of the characteristics of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and it's one of our characteristics if we fear Allah, as Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ, at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, and fear Allah and Allah will teach you. And fear Allah and Allah would give you knowledge. The Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari hafidhahullah wa rahimahu, he goes on to say, and we affirm that Allah has power, as he said, and don't they see that Allah created them and He is stronger than them in power, from Surah Al-Fusilat, verse number 15. The Shaykh is mentioning this characteristic of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and it has two different words in Arabic, Qudra and Quwwa. qudra and quwwah, and they both mean power, and they're characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah tells us in Surah Al-Fusilat, verse number 15 that we just read. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. And don't they see that Allah, the one who created them, He has more power than they have. He has more power than they have. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 165, and at the end of the verse, أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. Indeed, all of the power is for Allah, and Allah is severe in His punishment. All of the power is for Allah, and Allah is severe in punishment. And here we see that which we were mentioning about the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that correcting our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also helps us to correct our character and to correct our deeds, as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one with the power, and that we have no power except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we would humble ourselves to Al-Qawi. That we will humble ourselves to the one who has the power, because he is severe in his punishment. And if we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one with the power, then he's going to use his power, and he has all of the power. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show his mercy on us and to be forgiving to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 39, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And if they had entered their garden, if you had entered your garden and you said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, what Allah has willed, there is no power except Allah, it would have been better for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this verse is showing us that there's no power except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that all of the power is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's also showing us that we should be thankful and grateful to Allah, that if Allah blesses us with something, to say this is what Allah had willed, and there's no power except by Allah. And not to think that the power is by us. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed us to be among those with a lot of children, or blessed us to be among the strong and the healthy, or blessed us to be among the wealthy, that it was us who did that. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us to be among the intelligent, we shouldn't brag and to think that it was our hard work alone that made us intellectuals. That it was our hard work alone that made us among the wealthy. That it was our hard work alone that gave us a lot of children, or that made us healthy, and so on and so forth. But that it's from the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we have to show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with that which He has blessed us, and reminding ourselves of our belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power should humble us for all the greatness that we see in ourselves, to know that the thanks is owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse number 58, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Indeed, Allah, He is Ar-Razzaq, the provider, Dhul Quwwati Al-Mateen, the one who possesses power and strength. Dhul Quwwati Al-Mateen. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that among His characters is that He's Dhul Quwwa, that He has power subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Shaykh is mentioning as a part of our beliefs, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself in a few verses as the Qawi, and the Qawi is the one who has quwwa, or the one who has power, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 52, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Indeed, Allah is Qawi, the one with power, the powerful, and severe in His punishment, or harsh in His punishment. And here again we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to humble us after He reminds us that He is Qawi, and He is the one with the power, that He is the one with the severe punishment. So don't think that you're too powerful to withstand or to bear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the stupid disbelievers say arrogantly, burn baby, burn. If you try to advise them and to call them to fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and tell them, if you don't accept Islam and if you don't turn to your Lord, you're going to go to the hellfire. They say, really? Burn, baby, burn. As if it's a joke that they're going to burn, as if they're ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and withstand His punishment of the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, is humbling the believers by knowing no one can handle that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dishes out. Rather, people can't even handle what human beings dish out. People can't even handle what human beings dish out, as we have saw on one of these, the strongest men in the earth, or the baddest fighters in the earth, where they were showing all of these people of the arts, and they were having this fight with no rules in a cage. Everything goes. And then at the end, when the man had won the title of all of them, the person he was fighting gave up. They were fighting, they had beat everybody, and it was only two men left. When they fought, one of them gave up, and then one was the champion. The champion was angry that the man gave up. I thought we supposed to be the baddest fighters on the world, and you giving up? I ain't even hurt you. You still, no blood, no nothing, nothing broken, you giving up already. I thought you could fight. If this is people giving up, and they're supposed to be the toughest people on the earth, on the earth, with all of these big trophies, for all of this jiu-jitsu and karate and all of this stuff, how could he give up from the punishment of one man hit him in the face a couple of times? How much more would people give for the fire of Jahannam? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in Surah Al-Fajr, as he says, وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّ لَهُ ذِكْرًا. On that day when Jahannam, the hellfire, is brought forth, on that day humanity would remember, will remember that they should have submitted to Allah and believed in Allah and obeyed Allah. But how would that remembrance benefit them? How are they going to remember now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi and the one with the power, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the severe in punishment? How is it going to benefit you after your death? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminding us of His lofty characteristics, encourages us to be humble and to continue our belief in Allah and our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in some hadith these characteristics of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and these hadith are important hadith, and they have a lot of benefit in it, inshallah, and we'll mention them. And the first hadith is the hadith of Uthman ibn Abi al-As al-Thaqafi, annahu shaka ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waja'an yajidahu fi jasadihi mundu aslama. فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ضع يدك على الذي تألم من جسدك وقل بسم الله ثلاثا وقل سبع مرات أعوذ بالله وقدرته من شر ما أجد وأحاذر. عثمان بن أبي عاص ابن البلعاص الثقفي رضي الله عنه, he complained to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a pain that he had on his body ever since he accepted Islam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, place your hand on the part of your body where the pain is and say Bismillah three times, and then say seven times, I seek refuge in Allah and His power from the evil of what I find in that pain and from what I fear or caution that may happen to be painful for me in the future. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see as he says, A'udhu billahi wa qudratihi, I seek refuge in Allah and in His power. And we see that it's not permissible for the believers to seek refuge in other than Allah. It's not permissible for us to seek refuge in other than Allah. And here we see that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is teaching us to seek refuge in the power of Allah, the qudra of Allah. And this is also showing that the characteristics of Allah are Allah, as it's not permissible for us to seek refuge in other than Allah. And if the qudra of Allah was other than Allah, we would not be able to seek refuge in it. And also in the other narration, the Messenger of Allah adds, "A'udhu bi'izzati Allahi wa qudratihi." I seek refuge in the might of Allah and His power. And this is also showing that Allah's characteristics in general are Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's no difference between Allah and His beautiful names and His lofty characteristics. And we also see some medicine of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As in one of the narrations, they say, after he did this, he said, "And I didn't find any more pain in my body afterwards." And I didn't find any more pain in my body afterwards. And that is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say Bismillah 3 times. And then أعوذ بالله وقدرته من شر ما أجد وأحاذر. And this is from Sahih Muslim. And we mentioned that on Monday night, inshallah, that the next series on the purification of the souls is some of the etiquettes and the verdicts of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam around being sick. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentions Allah's qudra or Allah's power in the authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua like this: اللهم بعلمك الغيب وقدرتك على الخلق أحيني ما علمت الحياة خيرا لي وتوفني إذا علمت الوفاة خيرا لي اللهم وأسألك خشيتك في الغيب والشهادة وأسألك كلمة الحق في الرضاء والغضب وأسألك القصد في الفقر والغنى وأسألك نعيما لا ينفد وأسألك قرة عين لا تنقطع وأسألك الرضا بعد القضاء وأسألك برد العيش بعد الموت وأسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك في غير ضراء مضرة ولا فتنة مضلة اللهم زينا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, O Allah, by your knowledge of the unseen and your power over your creation, your qudra over your creation. And this was the point of the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallam that we wanted to see, where he said the power of Allah tabaraka ta'ala and his power over his creation. And then we benefit from the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallam, O Allah, give me life so long as life is good for me, so long as you know that life is good for me, and take my life if you know that death is better for me. O Allah, I ask you for the ability to fear you when people see me and when people don't see me. And I ask you to speak the truth when I'm angry and when I'm not angry. And I ask you to be straight to the point or direct or truthful when I'm poor or when I'm rich. And I ask you for an enjoyment that will never cease. And I ask you for the qurrata aynin that won't cease also. And we ask you for pleasure after you have made your decision. And we ask you for a good life after our death. And we ask you to enjoy looking at your face and to desire to meet you, and not to be those who cause harm or to have harm on ourselves, nor to be in fitna that leads the people astray. O Allah, we ask you to beautify us with the beauty of Iman, and we ask you to make us guided and those who guide others. So this is the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we see the benefit of the dua, and we see the mentioning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has qudra, or that Allah has power. And this is hadith is from Imam An-Nasa'i, and we see the virtues of the end, especially in our times today, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to be among those who cause harm or to cause other harms or to cause harm for others, and not to be in fitna that leads the people astray, and that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to beautify us with the beauty of Iman and to make us guided and to be those who guide the others. And this is a dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if Allah answers our dua, what else would we need after the answering of the dua taught to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions qudra is among the most important duas for the Muslims to know. Is among the most important du'as for the Muslims to know, and it is the du'a of al-istikhara. It is the du'a of al-istikhara, as Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma qala kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yu'allimuna al-istikhara fil umuri kulliha kasurati min al-Qur'an. يقول إذا هم أحدكم بالأمر فليركع ركعتين من غير الفريضة ثم ليقول اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري أو قال عاجل أمري وآجله فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري أو قال عاجل أمري عاجل أمري وآجله فاصرفه عني واصرفه عن واصرفني واصرفه عني واصرفه عن واصرفني عن فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم رضني به قال ويسمي حاجته. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us al-istakhara, this dua al-istakhara. And al-istakhara, it means to seek to make a decision. To seek to make a decision. He used to teach us al-istakhara in all of our affairs. How to make decisions in all of our affairs, just as he used to teach us a surah from the Quran. And here we see that Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu is showing us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put a lot of importance on this, just like he used to put importance on teaching the people the Quran. And this is to show us the importance of this dua al-istikhara, and that everyone should know it. And they should teach their family and their children this dua of al-istakhara, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach his companions the way he taught them a surah from the Quran. He used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if one of you has an issue that concerns him, then let him make two raka'as that are other than the five compulsory salah. And then let him say, O Allah, indeed, I seek your help from your knowledge in making this answer for my decision. And I seek your power, and I seek your power, your qudra. And here Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has qudra, and this is the characteristic that we're mentioning. And I ask you from your fadli kal azim, and I ask you from your magnificent bounties, because indeed you have the power and I don't have the power. And you know and I don't know, and you are the allamul ghuyub, or you are the knower of the unseen. O Allah, if you know that this issue is good for me in my deen and in my life and in my final abode, or he said, for this world, for this life and for the next life, then make it happen for me and make it easy for me and then bless me in it. And if you know that this is bad for me in my deen and in my life and in my final abode, or he said, in this world and in the hereafter, then keep it away from me and keep me away from it. And then give me good wherever it is, and then bless me, and excuse me, and then make me pleased with it. And then the narrators of the hadith would mention, and they would mention their particular issue. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that which all of us need to know. And we'll mention just briefly that this dua of al-istakhara happens, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if something concerns one of you, then make the two rak'ahs. If you decide, should I make this trip or not? You'll decide, yes, I think I should make this trip. Make the two rak'ahs and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in this dua of istakhara. And remember, you're asking Allah, if this is good for me in my deen and in my life and in my final abode, then make this happen for me. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make happen for you that which you're about to get into. And you're asking also, on the other hand, if you know that this is bad for me, then keep it away from me and keep me away from it. This is the dua of al-istakhara. It's in the book, Authentic Supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of us, we should learn this dua and implement it in our lives, as many of us, unfortunately, at times, we want other people to make the decision for us. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us what to do in making our decisions. And this is the qudra of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or the power of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the explanation of his statement, and we affirm that Allah has power as he has said, and don't they see that Allah created them and he is stronger than them in power. And we affirm that Allah has hearing and seeing, and we don't deny that, like the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah and the Khawarij have denied this.